तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम। ओम सदाशिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं। नमामि भगवत् पाद शंकरं लोक शंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं। सूत्र भाषकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तः पुनः पुनः। हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम। So we have been looking at the Atma in the last class. We just touched upon what is an Atma. And we thought we'll look at it in a bit detail today in this class. So we are in this verse called Ka Atma. After having considered up to Mumukshutvam, what is Mumukshum, what is Mokshaha, now we are going to look at what is an Atma. Because naturally, the most important thing we need to know is how do we know this Atma? We keep talking about this Atma, Atma, Atma. Is it an object? Is it something to be known? Is it something which you can quantify? Is it something which you can measure? And what is the method used in this text, Tattva Bodha, to reveal the nature of the Atman? Or how do we know Atman? To know something, you need to know other things. See, if you want to compare something, right, you need to look at other things. Then you negate other things. Then you say, this is what it is. If you want to know that you are furniture in the house, you should know what is a chair, what is a table, sofa, then only you will know that these are different from each other. If you have only one thing there, you cannot compare it. So one needs to know other objects and then understand their fallacies, their limitations. Then that way you can discount them and saying that which is not available, that which is not permanent, that which is has got fallacies, is to be discarded. And that which is not, cannot be discarded, cannot, does not have any fallacies, does not have any doubts, doesn't have any defects, is called the Atman or the true thing. That's what we normally come across. So if you look at our own self, we as a person or individual are the person who is actually identifying things. So we are supposed to be most perfect than the imperfect things. Like the table, chair, objects which you see, they're all imperfect according to you, because when you are not there, those things don't exist. So for you to be existing, you should first exist. Then only those chair, table will exist first of all. So what we say is, okay, because I am there now, these things are actually all other things. They are not me. I'm not this. So you say they are chairs, you give a name to them. You also give a name to you, saying that you are Natarajan, I am Shankar, you are Uma, you give name like this. But you also know that I am just a name only. But in reality, for example, I am everything here. Whatever I see here, whatever I see, everything is mine. Everything is me. So if I am not there, these things are not there. That's why the only way to identify Atma or to know the Atma or something which you want to know is by knowing other things and then discounting them, or by saying, okay, this is all negated. So Nitya Anitya Vastu Viveka, we saw before in the class before, that identifying what is Nityam, what is Anityam, what is permanent, what is impermanent. And in the wake of that, you come to the truth of the reality. So here he also saying same thing. Here you different methods. Here there are three methods he use. He uses the method is called a prakriya. Or prakaram is a word called prakriya. Prakaram means method, how it is to be arrived. So prakriya is a method of analysis of arriving at something by comparing two things. So there are three methods being used here. First thing is called the karana shariram or the karana sambandha, first one. The first method being used here is called the karana karya sambandha, cause and effect, number one. Second thing is, we also look at the avastha traya prakriya, avastha traya. Avastha means three states, avastha means states. Three states of analysis. Then we have also the Shariratraya Prakriya. Shariratraya Prakriya. Shariram. Body. Causal body, subtle body, gross body. Shariratraya Prakriya. Shariratraya Prakriya. So Shariratraya Prakriya is one. Second thing is Karana Kari Sambandha Prakriya. Third is Avastatraya Prakriya. Three. So three different layers of personality or methods are being used here to negate or to know the other things, and then in the wake of that, you know that okay, these are not there, then this is what is Atma or the Atma. So we look at all the other things which are the three states, the three types of body, causal body, subtle body, gross body. Then we look at the karanam, cause and effect analysis. What is the cause? What is the effect? And then we come to the truth of the Atma. So there are different methods. So this is one of the methods. Right. So we look at this verse now. Stula sukshma karana sharira vyatiriktaha, first letter. So stula sukshma karana sharira vyatiriktaha means that which is distinct. So vyatiriktaha means that which is distinct from what? Stulam, stula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, and panchakosha titaha. Panchakosha titaha means, titaha means that is which is beyond, that which transcends the panchakosha. Kosha means sheath or layer, and panchaha means five. So there are five layers of personality or five layers we have which comprises of an individual. So we have the pranamaya kosha, annamaya kosha, jnanamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. Five koshas. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. So there are five koshas, which is the pancha kosha titaha. So this topic which you are talking about, this Atman, is beyond the stulam, sukshvam, and karana shariram, yatiriktaha. It is also different from the panchakosha, five layers. So this is not even the five layers. Then, sanvastha traya sakshihi. Sanvastha traya sakshihi. So this is actually not even the three states which we see here. Avastaha, Sanvastaha means the three states. Sannavastaha, Traya Sakshi. Sakshi is ultimate seer. The Traya Avastaha, I told you before, the three states. Avastha Traya Prakriya. So Avastha Traya Prakriya is the three states analysis of the waking state, dream state, and deep sleep state. So this Atman is neither these three states. So yes, now what? Yes, compared saying this Atman is not the Stula Sharidam. It is not the Karana Sharidam. It is not the Sukshma Sharidam. It is also not the Panchakosha also. This neither the three states. So he has given nine attributes, nine different causes he has given. And he says these are actually not any of this. Then he says, what is that? It is Satchit Andaha Sarupam. So that is called Satchit Anandaha Sarupam. San Yat Tishtati Sa Atma. So Satchit Anandaha means that which abides. Sat means existence, chit, consciousness, and swarupaha, anandaha is fullness, we saw. So sat, chit, anandaha, swarupa means the whole, our own swarupam is what is existence, consciousness, and fullness. So this Atma which he talked about, which is our own self, is pure existence, pure consciousness, and fullness, which is so in Tamil we call niraivu, we call we are full, we are never half, we are always happy. We think we are not full because we don't know what is our true nature. So thereby we say, like, you know, I am partly happy, I'm not this. We have this view about the shortcoming of you as a personality. But the shortcoming of a personality is more related to any of the three states or the three different types you talked about. You might say that my sthula shariram is not good. I have a very bad gross body. I'm fat. I am short. I'm not beautiful. So this is the sthula shariram. And the Karana Shariram also, we have lots of things, like, you know, we have our own abhipraya about different types of, you know, our own view about our own body, our own states of mind. So all these things he says that this is not the truth. And that which is the truth is Sat Chit Anandaha. Tishtati means that which is abiding. Tishtati abides. Sa Atma means this is the called the Atma. So that which is abiding in the self as Sat Chit Anandaha is the Atma, and it is not Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram. It is not even the Panchakosha, the five layers of personality. It is not even the three states of experience, which is the deep sleep state, dream state, and the waking state. Such a thing which is not in any of these things is supposed to be called the Atma, or it should be known as the Atma. Again, you cannot go and catch hold of Atma. You cannot say that, okay, now I understood what is Atma. It is a question of just, you know, cognitively understanding that all the other things which are there, which you see here, they are all actually all temporary. In the light of this consciousness, in the light of this Atman, then only you see these things. How do you know that you have gross body? you have a gross body because there is a light which is illumining the gross body. One may say that the gross body is illumined because of the eyes. The eyes can see things. The ears can hear things. The mouth can eat food, it can taste. And your indriyas are all working there. But for all these things to work, the mind also has to be there. So the mind actually tells each of the senses to go and do things. And it controls. But the mind also is inert. It's jadam also. Mind also is inert. Jadam. Because the mind also needs to be powered by another power, which is the consciousness, which is the Atma. If it is not there, then the mind also is powerless. So the subtle body which you talked about, all the powers which are there, the subtle, subtlest part. These are the subtle parts which are there in a person. A sukshma shariram we call. They are the subtle powers which are there, which operate independently. We cannot see them. For example, we cannot tell how we see. Science can tell you that, okay, there's a cornea there, the light comes, reflects there, and you see the reflection of the light, everything is there. But why does the sun should come and reflect? Why does eye should reflect? Then they will say, okay, this is because of the body structure like this. They cannot go beyond this. Because they can only tell you what is available to you, right? They cannot tell you why it is like this. If somebody tells you why your eye is shaped like this, they cannot tell you. So, the way it is, the Srishti is done like this, is that there are some things which can't be explained, which cannot be comprehended, can't even be said anything about it. So, such is this complex Atma, or the consciousness which is there. One has to just understand and live with it that, okay, look, all those things which you see here, they are all nitya only. Anything which can be known. If you can know things, if you can identify things, those things are called nitya. They are already available for experience. You already know what it is. That which is not known to you is called the Atma or the consciousness, which is what is that brief message is trying to talk about. So the meaning is clear to you, Natarajan, word by word. So sthula sukshma sharira karana shariram. If you look at a physical body, we'll come to the first one, sthula sharira. Sthula means that which is the physical gross body, sthula sharira. That which can be destroyed, that is anyway is going to be disintegrated when the body is confined to the flames, when the person dies. This gross body is the first to be cremated. And the body is what? It is comprised of all sorts of, you know, the elements which are there. You might have all sorts of chemicals like, you know, molecules, phosphorus, iron will be there, calcium will be there, all sorts of things. Our body is made of all these things. And you can break this iron into further compounds. You can break into this iron, that iron, you can go to molecular formula also. And they can be coming to protons and neutrons and electrons, ultimately. And they can come down to the finest pulse atoms and subatoms, subatomic particles, particle theory, everything can go. So if you look at the whole, our own body, it is actually comprised of this whole matter. And the matter we know is actually known. Correct? So this body is always called a mithya because this body is known to you. Just like the flower we see, we know that the flower is there. Right? The flower is going to die one day, it's going to wither away. So just like that, our body also is going to go one day and wither away. So this is called a mithya. This is definitely, you have to take it for granted or understood that this body is not permanent nashwar, it is a mithya only. So if I am going to treat the body as Atman, I have got to make a biggest mistake. So you can never say, okay, look, I have said my body is not the Atma. So all your body, all your physical parts, which are, you know, the karma indriyas, they are all called physical, the gross body. So all the things which are there. the reason why we do is because if you, like I told you in the beginning, if you want to know something, you have to confront it in some way. If you go to the ocean, if you go to the beach, you look at the water, you look at the waves, you see two things, right? You see the waves first, then you see the water also. But normally what we do, we always really see the waves only, we never see the water. We always appreciate going to the beach. My God, there are so many waves out there, so many waves. This wave is, that wave is big, that is going to come and hit me. This wave is small, it is going to go that direction. That wave is, there's no wave at all in the water. There's no motion. We don't even see the water. Because it is very, very common for us to ignore the truth. Just like, the Atma is there, right? So we always say that this Atma is there. But I'm the body. So what we see, we always see the body only as the first aspect. Just like we see the wave as the first thing. We never see the water at all. Because if you see the water, then you discount the wave. You will say, oh my God, this wave also is water only. Why am I giving so much importance to the wave when it is also part of the water? Correct. Sometimes in the water there will be no wave at all. Can we assume that this water is not there? We cannot. If you go to the deep sea sometimes, you will see that sometimes the sea is very, very calm. There will be no waves at all. It will be very still. You can have a beautiful ride, not a bumpy ride. The boat will go smoothly. You, when you're eating food also, everything will be okay. Your food will be perfectly all right. The plate do not tilt here and there. But it doesn't preclude the fact that there are no waves in the water. The waves are there, but it is, you don't see it because it is not yet reflected. But the waves, the stillness is part of the water, nature of the water. Can we ever say that we separate the wave, separate the stillness from the water? The stillness of the water, the wave in the water, they are both part of the water only. It is only when you see them in different form. You say the water is still. You see the water as got waves. Right? That is the way we see things as our body also. Because when we see our body, we say, we are this. So we never even look inside to say, okay, look, why am I giving too much importance to this body? This body anyway is called not a permanent one. It's mithya. So wherever there's a wave, there is water. Okay. But every water need not be a wave. It's a very important thing. If you see a wave, there is water. But you have to know that every water is not a wave. The wave will get merged in the water. The water will not get merged in the wave. That's why you always say that we always see the wave first and then the water. Because it is very natural for us. So we see first things, then we discount that. Like I told you before also, first you see all the objects, then in the wake of knowledge, you dismiss those things saying, okay, oh, these are all only ultimately wood and made of furniture, which is made of tree. Prakriti, Brahman, you just negate everything. Correct? But you do not directly go to Brahman and say, oh, this is all Brahman. You don't say this. Because it is not possible. In the Vyavarika model, which is there, which you deal, you have to first see things as they are. That's why even the Advaiti also is a Dvaiti in the beginning. Dvaita means what? Two things. That you see two things, separate things. You see things first, then you negate those things. In what? In jnana. In saying, okay, look, I am seeing this thing, but I also know that this thing is not permanent. This is made of these things only. So, he negates by neti neti principle everything, and he comes down to the ultimate truth, which goes back to Brahman. And he says, okay, this is me. I am also part of the Brahman. Even I am also part of this. In that way, he negates it. Correct. See, the mistake is very common. See, everybody makes a mistake, and we are born with this ignorance. So when we are born, we are given this stamp that you are ignorant, and they give you this view that everything is body only. That's why we always are focused only on the body initially. Unless you come to Vedanta, you will never be able to know what it is. You will never be able to know. You will continue to be Indriya Rama, which is happy with Indriyas. Like we have Sapata Rama, we have Kodanda Rama, we also got Indriya Rama. They are actually people who are delightful, or they are actually reveling in the Indriyas being functional. So they spend more time on the beautification of the body, maintaining the body very well, seeing that the body is the temple. They will always say the body is the temple. Yes, the body is the temple for what? Temple because it is housing that power which is inside, and you have to protect it for that. Not for beautification, not for, you know, other things. And it is a common mistake in it, which is quite okay. So coming back to this, so first thing is, so this consciousness which you saw, it is pervasive everywhere. It is actually everywhere pervasive. It is not limited to one location. Like the water, you cannot say the ocean is actually one location. You cannot see, you cannot even comprehend how big it is. You cannot even measure it. Even the great Hanuman could not measure the ocean because he had to go across this to that. He could do that. And when he was crossing that, even that Lanka from here, he says, it is difficult to cross. Not an ordinary person cannot do it. Only a divine power like Hanuman could do it because he had his vision. He had the ultimate bhakti in Rama, and through bhakti only he was able to do that. So what it tells you is that this is so vast and comprehensive, and you cannot even imagine. You can keep looking at the horizon, and you will see that sometimes the sky and the water will meet at one place also. But when you go there, you will again go again another place, like you go and meet. So this endless water. So the water pervades everything. Likewise, this consciousness which you see, the Atma, it pervades everything. There is nothing which is not where it is not present. You can say physically, or I can say I am here in Australia and you are in India. Physical differences are there from body perspective, from mind perspective. But from a pure consciousness perspective, it is always everywhere. It is only when it comes to upadhi or support, we say that I am here, you are there. At the same time, when you are there, you cannot be here. Physically, you will be there. You say that, look, I can't be only one place. You cannot tear a body and say, let me take the first body and I'll keep it in Australia. Second body will actually go to India and stay there. You cannot. It's not possible. Whereas the mind, which is part of that, can also travel independently from here to there. That is because the mind has got its own way of working things. It can travel distances. It can travel. There's no limitation for it. But even the mind also is a known thing because it also works by the power of consciousness. If the mind is not there, if your mind is not able to work, supposing you are not able to think anything, you are in coma, you are physically alive here, everything can do, but your mind is not working due to some reason, some dementia, whatever it is, some disease you have got. Even if you want to do that, you cannot do it. So everything is depending upon this power, which is the pervasiveness of the Atma, which is there. So very, very important that this Atma, the consciousness which is there, it pervades everything. Just like the light we saw in the other example, the light will pervade every opaque object and objects. It will illuminate everything. It doesn't illuminate only one thing. It will illuminate all those things. You put on the light in the stage, you go to the stage, a dance program, they put the light on, and then you see all the dancers, you see the musicians, you see the mic, you see the compere, you see the screen, everything you see, right? But what you forget to see is that the light was there. We always say, look at the screen, look at the characters, look at the wellness, look at his sari, look at his vesti, the stage, we see everything. But what we forget to see is always that, you know, the light was always there, even though the artists were not there before. The artists came after that. And in the wake of light only you saw. Just like our body, which we say that this is what the body we have. But the body was existing because of the light which you have. Without that, even you will not even know your body or not. Right? So that is what is called here as this analysis of the karana prakriya, or the, you know, the stula shariram analysis, that this gross body is made of these things, and you know this body also is can be destroyed. It is not permanent thing, it is mithya. Okay. First one. Next, he talks about the sukshma sharinam. The sukshma sharinam also is similar to our stula sharinam. Only thing is, it has got this senses which are there. So sensory powers which are there, like, you know, the power to see, the power to hear. They are called sukshma, which is, you know, subtle things. Subtle things which are there, which you cannot see why it is. But it is there because of that you can see. In the Keno Upanishad, the person asks the question. I know that I got ears, I got eyes, I got everything. I also know that the eyes can see. He goes one level deeper, saying that the sensory objects also I know, the senses also I know. But I want to know that by which these senses are known. This power also is known to the person. First level of sakshi, the seer, is the first eye, the physical, they're called the golakam. The eye, the part which is you see, the physical part, they're called the golakam of the locus or the focus where you see there. Okay? So you see those things physically, you have these eyes which are there, eyes, ears, nose, they are called the physical officers. They go and they are there to do things for you. Sitting inside those golakams are there, they are the sensory powers which are there. The power to see, the power to hear, the power to taste, those kind of things. So these powers are there, you know, touch, sense of touch, smell. These powers are there. They are called these sukshma, subtle. You cannot even comprehend why it is there. Even the prana also subtle. The breathing and exhaling also is subtle. But if the prana is not there, none of this body also will function. Assume that, for example, you cannot breathe. You have a serious cold. Your nose is blocked. Your eyes are, your ears are completely, you cannot do anything. How you will feel? You will suffocate. So the prana is required for us to breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, right? And that's what actually also the oxygen to the blood is supplied, and the blood actually is purified, and the blood keeps, it does a job, right? So everything is important. So these are actually not even known to you. We cannot even say how the prana will be looking like. We just assume that prana is there. We just inhale, we exhale. The air we take in, the air we go out, we just don't even, can't see it. The space, we can't see it. We can't even see the space. We can only know it's a space there. But can we touch it physically? Can we hold it with our hand? We cannot. Because these are all actually all imperceptible things. We cannot even comprehend this. Right? So this is called a sukshma, or those which are not known to you. Like the fire. If you look at the fire and the heat, they are inseparable, correct? Can we ever say that, you know, we have a fire which is very cold? Fire means hot. You put your finger in the fire, it's going to burn. Whereas if you say a water, which is going to be hot water, the water can actually be hot when the fire is there, when the fire is still burning, the water is in the gas stove. You've got boiling water, the water is still hot. And if you put your finger in there, it will still burn. But once the fire is put out, the water will become cold after some time. So the heat which was there in the water disappeared. So the heat and the water, they are two different things from the water perspective. But from the fire perspective, the heat and the fire, they are intrinsic properties. We cannot separate that. But we cannot see the heat, right? We cannot see it. We only feel it because when you put the finger in there, you will know it. We cannot separate them at all. Like the smoke and the fire also is built in. When there's a fire, there will be smoke. Yatra yatra dhumaha, tatra tatra vannihi. Wherever there is smoke, there is fire. When you look at the mountain there, when you see somebody's house on, how do you know it's on fire? Because you see a smoke coming across. The other day, a very funny thing happened. You know, when I started Samhita Dharma at my house, I was sitting in the garage and doing the Samhita Dharma. And I had put this rice husk, you know, umi, in this one. And naturally, this umi has got a capacity to generate smoke than the fire. Even though the fire was, agni was running, and the smoke was also coming very, very, what you call, in a big capacity. So I was doing Samhita Dhanam, these boys are chanting mantras, and the fire was running everything. And one guy passed across my road. He passed by, he stopped by, and again he crossed across, he went 2-3 times, he was looking up the ceiling. I thought he's trespassing, because I thought, why is he so curious about what we are doing? And my car was parked there. Then he came inside and he says, is your house on fire? He said, no. He said, there's smoke coming from the roof. And he came inside to check what we are doing. He came inside and I was in a veshti. The boys were in veshti. They were all chanting mantras. Then I told him, I went up and saw, yes, I can see the smoke on the roof, because through the garage, you know, there are small holes up there, and it goes into the roof, and you could see the smoke going up. So from distance, from the other side of the road, he was seeing the smoke. He was not seeing the fire. Then he knew there's a fire. He came inside the house and asked me. Then I told him it is a Hindu ritual. So from that day, I stopped doing it at my home. I'm doing it at somebody's house. Because the other people have got, you know, a better place, and it's more compact, it's only open. So what I'm trying to tell you is that this smoke and the fire, they are intrinsic properties. If you see a smoke, you know there's a fire. So the smoke and the fire cannot be separate, just like the fire and the heat. So we have to understand what is permanent, what is impermanent. Right? To understand the true nature of our own self. So anything what we do, we look at in terms of, you know, Nitya, Anitya, Vastu, Vivek. We always apply this principle, saying, is it permanent, not permanent? Is it known, unknown? Is it experience, not experience? Who is the ultimate knower, known? So these kind of questions we keep asking. These topics are talked about in all the Upanishads, the Vedas, the Upanishads. We'll come to know about it. So when you do this analysis, called a prakriya or a method of discriminative analysis, then you would come to know the truth of what it is. It's like an actor. For example, an actor, he plays a role. Right? An actor is just doing a role. But the role is not the actor. He's just doing a small part of the role there. He doesn't do it full time. He cannot say that is my full time job. That's what it is. I'm not like this. For that moment, he's an actor. The role is there. After that, he's just a normal person. So we have seen Stula Shariram analysis, which is a gross body analysis. We have seen the Sukshma Shariram, which I told you was the causal body which is there. then we have got to see the karana shariram or the cause and effect also. So we'll come to that a bit later. Before that, we have to look at a few other things by which it becomes clear to us. He says here that this Atman now is not the Panchakosha, it is Panchakosha Tita. Next slide. If you look at next one, he says here, Yatiriktaha we saw is distinct from these three levels, three personalities, Stula Sukshma Karana, Yatiriktaha. Then he says, Panchakosha Titaha, which is, this is beyond transcending the five koshas or the Panchakoshas. So what are the Panchakoshas? First is Annamaya Kosha. So Annamaya Kosha, we'll look at each of them in detail. The Tattva Bodha is going to teach you those concepts in detail about each of the koshas. I'm just going to give you an introduction about the five koshas now. So, Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, which is the Pancha Pranas, correct? Pancha Indriyas, which is the Annamaya Kosha. Then Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, and Anandamaya Kosha. So, these are the five things which are there, which will, and then the Manaha also is there. The mind also is there. So, all these five things are also transcended, they are known, because you know the body, you know the Panchakosha layer which is there. You know the five pranas, Pancha pranas, you know prana, dhyana, apana, udana, samana, you know that. You already know it. Inhaling, exhaling, kumbhaka, purakam, holding breath, all those things you already know about it. That which is known to you, it is not that. He says, if you know anything about a body or a sukshma or any part or functioning of the body, then that is not that, he says. Okay. So this Atma which is there, the consciousness which is there, it is Satyam and everything else is Mithya. So we saw this Atma, the consciousness, is an edge of timelessness. So when I say timelessness, means it has got no time. See, time is actually coming under the realm of Prakriti, nature. Because you say you have three times, morning, evening, afternoon, those kind of timings are there. But in reality, in all the, how do you know these three times are there? How do you know that you are there in the morning, you are there in the afternoon, and you are there in the evening? Because there's something which is telling you that you are there in all the three times. And you know the time. You can quantify the time. You can tell this is 12 o'clock. This is Uchi Veil. This is early morning. This is late evening. All these things are known to you. So that which is known to you is also Mithya. It says this Atman, the consciousness, is not this. It is timelessness. Because if you know the time, then it is not that. This is called anadi, or does God know? It is basically, it has got no place or time where it was not there. It was always there, ever with you. Even when you're a small boy, small girl, you know what you are there. When you become 85-year-old woman or a man also, when you're on deathbed also, you will know that what you are. In all the stages of the life, this Sakshi or the consciousness was always present with you and was telling you how you were when Balyavastha was there, Yavanavastha was there, correct? Then Jaravastha is there. So it tells you everything. Then it also undergo any change. Correct? See, it doesn't change just because, so changing is not nature. It is always available. We change, times change, seasons change. In the wake of the knowledge of the truth, only these things are known to you as changeable things. How do we know that, you know, there's a three seasons are there? How do we know that there are three states up there? How do we know that we are there in all the three different time zones or different time zones? They're all there because you were there in all those places, all the places, all everywhere you were there. Pervasiveness were there. In that knowledge only, these things are daunting. So you discount time. But time also is a time and division of space and time also is daunting. Then you also know the seasons also daunting. You know that. You know three states also known to you. Dream state, waking state, because you are the same person who is a dreamer, who is a waker, also the person who is in Sushupti also. Same person. But you go through three states to different depending upon your asa prayer. Depending upon where you are and depending upon your sattvic, rajasic and sattvic and tamasic gunas, you oscillate between the three gunas, three states. You oscillate. So we know its changelessness. Also, it has got no form. See, this Atma has got no form. If I tell you, for example, this Atma, if I tell you an object that it is like a laddu. Laddu has got, you know, round in color, round in shape, yellow in color. It has got, it is made of, you know, if you touch it, it will have ghee. If you eat, it will be sweet. So I've given you a picture or description of a laddu, and then you know that it is a laddu. Now you don't need to eat anything now. You go to somebody's house, you go to Natarajan's house. He gives you laddu. He gives you something like a round ball. You ask him, is it laddu you are giving Natarajan? Because I already told you how a laddu looks like, how a laddu will feel like. So you can understand cognitively that this is a laddu, or this is a pumpkin, or this is an orange, because it has got characteristics. Right? You can attribute things like color, size, form, taste, shape, everything you can attribute, right? And you will know what it is. But this Atman cannot be even, you can't give a shape. You cannot tell somebody, how can you tell that this Atman is round shape, or square shape, or this sweet in taste, or orange in color. It has got no color, no taste, nothing. It is attributeless. It has got no form. So what do? You anything which has got form, color, size, shape, taste, you know that this is not you. So this is not that. You discount it. See, this is how I told you in the beginning, that to know something, you have to discount some things. Then only you will come to the truth of, okay, if nothing is here, that is called the Atman. So whatever you see here in this world, you get up in the morning, the trees, the flower, the people, the buses, the cars, you negate everything, saying, you discount it, saying, okay, all of them, they are all known to me. Even the three states known to me. So I am not this. Nacha Bhuta Sangaha. See that. The slokam of Pratasmaya slokam is a beautiful thing. It gives one line, it gives essence of all the topics which talked about here. Four lines. If you look at the website which I got there, there's a meaning of the sloka. Pratasmaram sloka is there, and the first verse tells you this, that I am not this, I am this complete Chaitanya, which is pure consciousness, which is there. Then this Atman or the consciousness is self-revealing, self-shining. It doesn't need other light to tell you that there is another light there, like a sun. It is self-revealing. When the sun comes, it illumines everything. It doesn't need another light to tell that, okay, look, you are a sun. Your job is to go and illumine. Then the sun also is known to you. Supposing the sun is told by another sun or another light, that look, sun, it is your job to go and illumine the world. Then somebody will ask you, okay, who is the person illumining the sun? We never go beyond the sun, right? We always say sun is not there, means you can't see. Even the moon is also seen because the sun only. But what do we say? Moonlight, sunlight, we say this. The moon gets the light reflected from the sun. And in the reflection of the sun only, you see the moon. Like if you go to a cloudy, you know, afternoon, if you go out when it's raining or something very cloudy, you will say it is cloudy. How do you know it is there's a cloudy there? Because there is always light there, the sun is there. The sun is temporarily shrouded by a cloud, but the sun's light is still there for you to see that there's a cloud there. Once a cloud disappears, then you see the sun. Likewise, our view also is that our view is shrouded by a cloud. And the moment a cloud is removed, our doubts are removed. The Atma, the consciousness, is self-shining. It reveals itself. It says in the, I think in the Bhagavad Gita we saw, Yat Chandramasi Yat Chagnau Tattejo Vitti Mamakam. Means understand that the light, Yat Chandramasi Yat Chagnau, means that light which is coming from the sun, the moon, the fire, is understand Tat Tejo Vitti Mamakam. Understand that this light also is coming from me. There Krishna talks about me, means he talks about him as a personality or as an individual who is the self, consciousness. So there in chapter 15, he says, Yat Chandramasi Yat Chagnau Tat Tejo Vitti Mamakam. Vitti means may you know that this Tejas which is coming from, is coming from me, my own consciousness. If because of my radiance, my brilliance, my illumination power, I am able to see the sun, moon, fire, everything. If it is not there, then there is no moon for me, there is no sun for me. A person who doesn't have any illuminating power, how will the person see a sun and a moon? He can't see it. So he says, because of my own radiance, my own existence, which is there, I am able to see this. In the Keno Upanishad also, I think I want to tell you this. There's a very beautiful verse. Did I tell you before Natarajan this verse? Keno Upanishad? Na tatra chakshush gachati. I think I told you, right? In last class. I'll read this verse to you slowly. You can make a note of it. Na tatra chakshuhu gachati na tatra chakshuhu gachati. So na means not there, chakshuhu gachati, the eyes does not go there. He tells the example of a Brahman or Atma to a student. He says, how do you know this Brahman? He says, na tatra chakshuhu gachati. Means, there even the eyes does not go. Na vak gachati. Vak. Vak means speech. Speech. Na vak gachati. Na mano. Even the mind also does not go there. So na tatra chakshu gachati, na vak gachati, na manaha gachati, na vidmaha, na vidmo, or vidmaha, na vidmaha, vidmaha. Means we cannot know this Brahman as an object also. It is not an object to be known. Na vijanimo. Na vijanimo means we don't know how to teach this to you. Na vijanimo means we do not know this. See, in the olden days, the teaching used to be given by word of mouth. So by negating things, by being verbally told, they were told, this is what is Brahman. You are Brahman, you are Tattvamasi, you are Pragyanam Brahma. And the way of unfolding method was Sampradaya teaching. By doing teaching in a step-by-step manner, you are able to negate certain things and then arrive at, okay, this is not this, this is not that, this is not this, neither this, not this, not this, not this, not this. Then you come to a final innermost I, which cannot be negated. You cannot negate yourself, first of all. You can never say that I am not there. You are there. I am. So if you always look at, you know, the I, you always substitute with am. You cannot use the word in isolation. If you just say I, it has got no meaning. You will say, I am tall. I am short. So the I is integral part of all the things which are there. You can never use I alone, independently. You just say I. Who will say what is I? Nobody will know. You have to say, I am. I am there. I am short. I am beautiful. I am self-illumining. So this I am always goes together. So this I, which is integral part, right, is this is what is you. This is the ultimate innermost I, which cannot never be negated. Everything else can be negated. That's why the English word sometimes can be very contradictory. It's also beautiful because you say I, single word I means if you go and say somebody I, nobody will know what you're saying. The moment you say I am, then they'll ask you, who are you? I am Uma. I am living in Thana. I am in India. All the am gets added now. The words also get added. Walk, speech. But how do you know? Then you know that you are living in Thana. Your name is so and so. But what it says here, that na vak gachati, there you cannot, the speech also, the words, no words also can express it. Nothing can be expressed. So you take out the words, I am, from this word, and say I am the only person. That is only for cognitive self. You cannot tell other people who you are. You are that. You tell, I am this Brahman, if you say, it is only for you to available for your recognition. You cannot tell somebody that I am Brahman. You are already, you know what, you don't need to tell anybody that you are Brahman. Everyone is Brahman. But the person who knows the truth about self, he or she will revel and say, look, I know my true nature, I am this. I don't need to explain anything to anybody that I am so and so, I am short, I live here, I know my true nature. All these things are all known to you. Everybody can see who I am, but nobody can see who really I am, because it is something which I know for myself. It is the innermost I. So na vak gachati na manaha na viso na vidmaha na vijani mo means that which can't be even be taught. We don't even know how to teach you or how to tell you this. Because you should know only by deducing certain things. Then it says here, it is distinct from the known, viditat, from the known, viditat. Vidi means know, viditat means from the known. It is also different from the unknown, aviditat. So viditat, aviditat. So he says here that this is something which is beyond my eyesight, beyond seeing, beyond speech, beyond mind, beyond known, beyond unknown. Because there are lots of things which you don't know. You will only come to know when you know about it. But you don't know because the unknown things are there. So you say what? Known plus unknown is consciousness. that which is known plus unknown is everything put together, Ishvara, everything is one aspect. So the known things which are there, you already know, they manifested consciousness. Unknown things which are there, they are unmanifested consciousness. They're still there. So, two things are there. You know something, you know about it. But you don't know also many things. But it doesn't mean that they are not existing. They are there. But you are yet to know about it. When you come to the stage of knowing, you'll know about it. So, the whole thing put together, known plus unknown, is Brahman, is consciousness. So, that's what it says here. There, na vak gacchati, na mano gacchati, na sakshu gacchati, na vidmaha, na vijanimaha, that which cannot be expressed, taught to anybody, that which cannot be, that which is known, which is unknown, is called a Brahman. So when I talk about the Upanishad, we'll go in detail. So he, as I told you, this every Upanishad will give you very detailed. Now we are, when I go to this Upanishad, you will, it will be very deep dive. It will actually like going into the sea. And then if you go to the sea, right, if you jump into the sea, you will see lots of waves, right? And when you try to swim in the waves, it will be a struggle because you try to fight because the waves are also fighting against you. You are also putting your force and fighting against you, right? So it's always a struggle to get across the other side. Right now we are in the stage of that place, we are swimming on the water. But the moment you go scuba diving, you go deep diving, the waves are on top, the sea is tranquil down there. You'll see the beautiful fishes, you'll see that the water is calm, the water is also warm. Compared to the temperature you see outside, when you go under, it's actually not very, the undercurrents are there and it is actually very peaceful out there. You don't see the turbulence of the water inside when at that level. Correct? That's how it is. So when you are deep diving into the study of Atma, the consciousness, you will find a tranquility which is slowly coming into you. Whereas outside, all this turbulence are there. But once you break the turbulence and you break open everything, the shackles, then your mind will settle down and then you will be in tranquil peace. Which is always, we see that. So that's what it says here. This, the objects are seen and unseen because we see only the ocean at top, the waves. But there are unseen objects which are there and you don't even know how they look like. Unless you go there only, you'll know. And the beauty of this Atma is also that this is actually, it requires a power to exist, to manifest. See, the Atman or the consciousness cannot be known unless there is an Upadhi. How do you know that there is consciousness? Because we as human beings are there. And in the wake of our own existence only, you can see it. If we are not there, then this consciousness is not manifest. Manifest means that which is coming into existing from something. So it goes back into the unmanifest stage. So it is like, you know, a potential energy which is protected. And when there's an action, when something hits upon it, the power, right? The kinetic energy, it comes out and then you see the action. It doesn't mean that it is not existing. It is hidden. Like, you know, the whole tree inside a seed is hidden. You only go to the gardening shop, you buy a small seed, small bulb, you buy it. But when you look at the picture, what is shown you, you say, this bulb, if you plant it like this, it can grow into a big tree in 5 years' time. You see the picture and then you say, my God, how it is possible? But the potency of that seed, of the tree, is hidden in that, in the small bulb. Right? It is hidden. And when the time comes, it ripens, it matures and then it is manifest. So till such time, it is dormant, it is unmanifest. So it needs an upadhi or support for it to manifest. and the human beings which are there. We are the upadhis for that, and through our own existence it gets manifested. So the reason we exist, we are there. You know that Sakshi is there, Atma is there, consciousness is there. So this is a living truth. But what do we say? I am here because my body is here. We always think the body is the first thing. Whereas we always say that I am here because my Atma is there, the consciousness is there. In the lake of that only I know my body is there. I wouldn't even know my body is there if there's no consciousness. There's nothing was manifest. Like in deep sleep state, when you go, you don't even know that you have a body, physical body. You go to sleep at night, deep sleep, you are asleep, fast asleep. You don't even know you have a body. You don't even know you exist. But you exist because the person next to you is not sleeping, who has got dreams or who has got a nightmare, who has not slept at all. He will wake up and say, my God, look at this. He's sleeping like a log. Because you don't even know that you are sleeping like a log, but other person can know that he's sleeping or she is sleeping. So how do you know? Because that person also has consciousness. And in the wake of that light, only he sees the other person sleeping. If he was also sleeping very, you know, deep sleep, he wouldn't also know. Great. So the consciousness is something which is not transactable when not manifest. You cannot actually, when it's not manifest, you cannot see it. And it is only manifest in the mind. See, you cannot say that the Atma is in this hand or in the nose or in the ears. You cannot say that, you know, I can see with my nose. You can see only with the ears, with my eyes. Likewise, this consciousness of the Atma, it gets reflected only in the mind. The mind is what which powers the entire whole or body. The mind gives the power for it to function. The mind itself is reflected because of consciousness. So the first thing what happens is the Atma, the consciousness, is reflected in the mind first. The mind then illumines other things. The sensory powers, which is the power of seeing, it illumines the power of seeing. The power illumines the Golakam, the external objects, the physical eyes which are there. That is the power which is there. It gives that Shakti to that object, the physical part, for it to see. The eyes see, it transmits back to the senses, to the power of seeing. It goes back to the mind. The mind actually analyzes and tells you that this is the rose. You look at a rose. What do you say? Oh, I look at a rose. But then a lot of things happen in the rose. It is so quick that you wouldn't imagine that it takes millisecond, nanosecond, or one very, very minute seconds. You see a rose, it tells you it's a rose. But what happens is, first of all, that you are awake. The Atma is awake. The consciousness is awake. It is powering the mind all the time, like a bulb. Like electricity is flowing there, is always powering the mind. And because it is powering there, you are able to see. Your mind is functioning, everything is awake. The mind powers the senses. The senses powers the eyes. The eyes go and see the object. They reflect back the image which you see. Goes back through the Golakam, senses, the mind, and then illumines. That's a complex technology. Vedanta tells you this very clearly. You don't need science to study science to know this. What it tells you is this is how it happens. That everything is reflected in the mind. If the mind is inert, if the mind is not functional, nothing is reflected to you. Because the consciousness is not transactable in a dead mind, the mind is not there. When the person is in coma, his Atma is there. His consciousness is still there. That's why we never say that we don't kill the person, because we have this feeling that this person is alive. He somehow is alive. though his body is dead physically, or you know, his functions are dead, mind is dead, but we don't try to kill him, because we, in Hindu culture, we have this philosophy that unless a person, you know, is completely, doctor will say, now, you know, okay, look, he's a vegetable only, he cannot survive. Then sometimes he just passes away, eventually he just passes away. I mean, he may be, if you look at his body, everything, your blood will be flowing, everything will be flowing, will be there. But he's not conscious, he's not doing anything. So we don't kill him, or we don't actually do, you know, get away with it. Eventually, after fighting for so many years, months, eventually the body also gives up and the prana leaves. The mind is inert, it stops functioning. Then the person is declared dead, because it's not there anymore. But the consciousness which is there, which is always there in the person. Only thing is not available for transaction, because the mind is not there anymore. It is left already. That's why we say ditta dead. So this is, knowledge is important about this. This consciousness, it never dies. It's always available. It's always as true. Even if it's a death also, it becomes an unmanifest stage. Then to the vasanas which are there, which will again bring back the same thing into another body, and then reflects in another body's consciousness. So otherwise, you would not know, because the vasanas imprints are there. It is actually carried like a small footprint. Everything is carried. And then it is carried into this one. And then it actually, next, depending upon the karma which is coming up, this consciousness is reflected in another body as another upadhi. And then you see these things. Suma dropped off?
I think so. Maybe some power cut or something there.
Okay.
He must have lost her internet connection.
Okay. So now we got the third type, which is called the Avastha Traya Sakshi. Avastha Traya means the three states of analysis, or the three different states. The dream state, the waking state, and the deep sleep state. In all the three states, the Sakshi or the person is always there as a knower. He's always there. You as a knower, you're always there to know that I am in deep sleep state, I am in waking state, I am actually in dream state. Even though so this Sakshi, which is called, is ultimate seer. And this is what is called the truth, the consciousness, which is existing in every state. But that three states are not consciousness. This is the fourth thing called Turiya, which is the fourth state. It is not a state at all. But it is sitting separately and saying, look, you are now sleeping. You are awake. You are dreaming. And it tells you each and everything very clearly as to what you were doing at that point of time. That's how when we get up also, we wake up with a memory of the previous night. If we have deep sleep, we also know that we slept well. See, even that also we know. There's nothing which is not known to us. Sometimes we know that we didn't sleep well. We had a very disturbed sleep. I slept only at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or tossing up and down, I was reading a book. Bad things came to my mind. Somebody was chasing me. I was shot by a tiger. I was killed by a tiger. All sorts of things will come to us. And we are able to get up in the morning and amuse ourselves. The beauty of that is sometimes we get up in the morning, my God, what sort of dreams I get? No connection. How can I dream of something which I don't even know about it? But it is coming because of some, it may not be connected. Number one is, if you try to analyze the reason for that, you will become mad. A dream is supposed to be a dream only. And you are supposed to discount it saying, my God, it's only a dream. It's not real. The moment you become to treat a dream as real, you have a serious problem. That's why the good thing is Bhagavan has said, look, you know, you dream only things, next day morning you wake up, the dream is forgotten. Nobody likes to dream in a dream and really the dream. Nobody wants to say, I want to be in the dream forever. Because waking state is there and you have to get to work, deal things, and naturally in the process of doing work, you forget the dream. Next day morning, you again dream of the what you had in the morning to evening. that day, what transpired, what happened, will become a dream for that night if you don't sleep well. So he says this Atma which is there, the consciousness which is there, is neither of the three states. Yet it is available for recognition, for knowing as the three states which are there. You know that you are there and this is what it says. This is nature, not the three states, but I am the fourth state, Turiya. So this Avasar Traya is what it talks about here. Is it clear to you, Natarajan, this verse? So I think I explained to you the concept of this prakriya. Stula sukshma karanam shariram yatiriktaha panchakosha titaha. Then san avastha traya sakshihi. So sakshi, we saw that this sakshi is the fourth state, Suriya, ultimate seer. And by transcending these three things, I realize that I am this Sat, Chit, Anandaha. I am the Swarupam of that consciousness, which is my existence, my consciousness, and the fullness, which is what I am, is by known by this, transcending these things, negating these three things. This is what is talked. This is called the Atma, which talks about in this verse here. Ka Atma, he talks about here. You got any questions, Natarajan, on this one? Anything?
No, not really.
Okay. Next topic we are discussing about, next class we'll look at. He's going to talk about next verse, what is Stula Sarira. Now he has said that, okay, this Atma is not Stula Sarira. Now he's going to say, okay, now Kim Stula Sarira, what is this Stula Sarira? Then he talks about, okay, this is what it is, this is what it is. We'll go through that in the next class. We'll go to the next one. So we'll stop the class here, Natarajan, and then we will continue with the next one on Monday on Bhagavad Gita. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tastat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. See, this I told you I want to talk to you about this Tamil verse, right?